Hello and welcome to Baseball Barbacast, the only baseball podcast in the world more insightful than Nick Castellanos. I'm Jake Mintz. That's Jordan Schusterman.
I can't promise that.
Okay.
Nick Castellanos has been dropping wisdom for years now, and we're just here to talk ball and have a good time. I am sitting next to my dear friend Jake Mintz, my co-host. We are recording this at a studio in New York City. I'm visiting for a couple of days, so we're going to watch this 6 a.m. Korean game on Wednesday morning. Very excited for that. But we're also going to record a couple podcasts. And today, on this Monday, March 18th, we are going to preview the National League East, featuring the New York Mets, of course, of New York City fame. That's what they're known for.
New York City fame.
But before we get to the NL East, first of all, it's nice to see you. How are you, Jake?
I'm really well.
The baseball season is technically starting in 2 days.
It is technically starting in 2 days, but it's also not. The Korea games are cool and don't feel real at the same time.
Yes. I've enjoyed watching some of the exhibitions. Will it feel like real baseball in 2 days? I don't know, but I'm looking forward to watching it. And since Blake Snell is still not on a team, Jordan Montgomery is still not on a team. Jordan Montgomery's not even getting rumors at this point. I mean, this is a tough scene.
I haven't heard any. He's like, he's gone.
He was like, talk about pitchers who went from like kind of average guy, like, oh, that's a major league pitcher, to like, whoa, Jordan Montgomery's so famous. Oh, we're going to be talking about him all winter. And quite literally, we talked about him all winter. And then now he's
gone full Kate Middleton.
He's gone. Maybe he's with Kate Middleton. Have we seen either of them in months?
No.
I don't know. So it's kind of still feeling weird that the season's about to start, but we are going to preview the NL East. But before we get to that, we have to update on the Baseball Barbacast Fantasy League, which we announced not that long ago, and it has spiraled into something spiraled seems like it's going down. This is like growing in size to a degree that I don't think we were fully prepared for. So we did say we are going to do a fantasy league with a selection of podcast listeners. And, you know, again, this is Jake hasn't done fantasy baseball in a long time. We, of course, wanted to do a fantasy league on Yahoo Fantasy, yep, whatever, right? But I don't think we fully grasped what this would mean, and maybe this was naive of us.
Yeah, we've gotten over 200 emails from people explaining why they should be in the league. Now,
we did ask them for that.
Yeah, I have not played fantasy sports in a long time. However, I know that you can't really do that with 200 people.
No, can't have a 200-person league.
No. Everyone gets two players, hitter and pitcher.
The more we talk about it, I'm like, actually, can we do a 200-person league? Maybe we can pull some strings at Yahoo and be like, hey, look, I know this is kind of obnoxious, but can we actually have a 200-person league? So we can't do that.
We can't do that, but what can we do? We have sifted through all of the emails, and we have selected some. We're narrowing it down.
Yes.
We're going to try and get it down to a reasonable number. It's going to be a bigger league than we're comfortable with, but we're happy with that. We're going to be fine. The deadline for submissions is today, Monday at 6 p.m. Mountain Time.
Okay. All right. Okay. So a little bit later.
6 p.m.
Mountain Time on Monday. We are going to close the inbox. Not really. You can still email us at baseballbarbacast@gmail.com. But submissions for the Fantasy League, of which we already have too many, will cut off at 6 p.m. Mountain Time on Monday. We will be sending out invites in the next 48 hours or so. We are planning on drafting on Sunday evening, next Sunday evening, March 24th, Mountain Time TBD. But it will be Sunday evening, of course, on Yahoo. You can sign up for Yahoo Fantasy Baseball, yahoo.com/fantasybaseball. So again, thank you all for the interest. So many more that we would love to have in the league than we can let in, but we really appreciate the interest and we're really excited about this.
Speaking of Mountain Time, very briefly, did you see the news that the Colorado Rockies are heavily considering extending their manager, Bud Black?
I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't. All right. Okay. Well, good.
That's why I want to be on Mountain Time, because the Rockies rule.
All right. No more Rockies chat. We did enough NL West last week. This podcast is about the National League East. And as always, we are going to go from bottom to top in order of the BetMGM over-unders. You know, the projections are a little bit different sometimes, but in this case, you know, is this the order we're going to necessarily go with? This is going to be interesting. But we are going to, of course, start at the bottom of our National League East preview with the Nationals of Washington. My goodness, a lot has happened with them since they won the World Series in 2019. A lot has happened in the world. I like to think about that World Series as like the last World Series. I have thought about this often as, will we look at post-2020 baseball as like a different era? Like in 50 years when we're describing the eras of baseball, will 2019 be like the end of a... Because there's a lot of... It's not just, you know, it's the juice, the last juice ball season. It's the last season before. All these different things.
In my mind, the Nationals won the World Series, and the next day... Rudy Gobert touched that microphone.
Exactly. That's... There was nothing in between. Nothing in between. So anyway, the Nationals are a fascinating franchise. Of course, growing up in the D.C. area, we think and care about the Nats a lot. My younger brother, David, is a big Nationals fan. So I think about this team a lot. Are they going to get the most time in the podcast? Probably not.
No.
What did they do last year, Jake? They were not that bad, but they certainly were not good.
They were a good bad team. They were 71 and 91. Like, the Mets won 75 games. Like, they tried to chase the Mets down. They were not... They got better as the year went on. They got slightly more interesting as the year went on. They had a really awful September, though. Wow, that is just brutal.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And I think we thought they were going to be... It was weird. They had enough talent where they could kind of go on some hot streaks, but... Again, in that division, we knew they weren't necessarily going to be contending for anything, and we know they've been very purposefully sort of in a rebuild over the last couple of years. What do they do over the offseason? Not a ton. They bring in some interesting veterans, Jesse Winker, Joey Gallo, Nick Senzel, just the total, you know, 2015 top prospect list, just, you know, coalescing in this lineup. We'll see how many of them are actually still decent major league hitters.
I think what's notable is what they didn't do, because there was an argument that the Nats should have done the... We're not good yet, but let's prepare for next year, for 2025. And they didn't do that. Like, there was, you know, should they go get Rhys Hoskins? Should they sign a younger player to a longer deal?
Sign a big starter. I guess could still sign Blake Snell, but it doesn't seem likely. But it seems like they kind of went half measures, guys that could probably trade, guys that can make their offense look slightly more respectable. So not a lot of action in the winter. But who is on this baseball team?
Who is on this baseball team? Behind the dish... Kybert Ruiz and Riley Adams. Riley Adams, friend of the show. First base, Joey Gallo. Second base, Luis Garcia Jr. Shortstop, CJ Abrams, who we're very excited about. Third base, Nick Senzel. Fascinating one. Man. I don't want to harp on him for too long, but second overall pick is a third baseman by the Reds.
Yeah.
The Reds kind of had him play everywhere.
Yes, but the last couple of years, he basically maintained his value by bouncing around the field because his hitting just hasn't quite stayed. He's had a bunch of fluke, weird injuries.
Great rebound candidate. Like, perfect post-hype guy. Outfield, Victor Robles is somehow still on the Washington Nationals.
He's
still
the only guy, field. The only hitter left.
Only hitter left, I
guess,
believe.
From 2019.
Eddie Rosario, who they signed a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, who might be also playing some center field, which
bizarre.
Is absurd.
Lane Thomas and Wright, and the DH spot will be split between Joey Meneses and Jesse Winker, because Jesse Winker, respectfully, should not be anywhere near the outfield. The starting rotation, JoJo Gray, Patrick Corbin, Mackenzie Gore, Jake Irvin, and Trevor Williams, and the bullpen, Kyle Finnegan, Hunter Harvey, and Tanner Rainey. Tanner Rainey was on the 2019.
Tanner Rainey's back.
The one big question about this team, though, has nothing to do with any of the people we just mentioned.
No.
It is about Dylan Cruz and James Wood, two of the best 10 prospects in baseball. When do they show up?
Yeah, I think now anytime you have one top 10 prospect in baseball who's close to the big leagues, you're wondering when they're going to come up. But to have two guys both in the outfield when the outfield picture, as we just described. Now, Lane Thomas is good. And maybe Lane Thomas is like, you could see a situation where the very easy thing to imagine is the Nats are bad and they trade Lane Thomas and like the next day they call up both Cruz and Wood, right? Like that's something you could very much see happening. But yeah, I mean, it's all about those guys. Like those, and no, they don't have to be all-stars this year, right? It's not like if they come up and are only average that the Nationals are doomed. But in terms of excitement, in terms of what's going to get people to want to go to Nationals games again, this is going to be what it is. And it will probably happen at some point in the season.
That's the data point. Right. The memory that Nationals fans will have from the 2024 season will be the debuts of these two players, unless, you know, Jake Irvin throws a perfect game. However, my key player this year for the Nats is Mackenzie Gore. Yep. I think it's Gore, Ruiz, Abrams and Gray. This quartet represent the hypothetical core that's already at the big league level of the next good Nats team. All four of those players were acquired in trades from the teardown from the 2019 team. Gore and Ruiz were the return for Trey Turner and Max Scherzer from the Dodgers. And then C.J. Abrams and Mackenzie Gore were the return from the Padres, part of that return for Juan Soto, who's only 25. But for me, Gore is the one who has shown the most potential, and I feel the best about a breakout. He was the best pitching prospect in the world a handful of years ago, and he's still doing the things that made him that.
Yeah.
And so I have enough faith in him as a player. I think he's really smart. I think he's really talented, and I think he's going to take a big step forward this year.
Yeah, I think that's totally reasonable. Like, for him, it's mostly been a matter of health. So if he can stay on the mound and throw 150 innings, I think he's going to be pretty good. My key player is Kybert Reese, their catcher. We are all in on C.J. Abrams. Like, I'm not really worried about C.J. Abrams, and I'm not going to say I'm worried about Ruiz, but Ruiz...
Oh, I'm worried about Ruiz.
Okay, well, so again, there's more concerns with him as a switch hitting catcher. They've already extended him, so they've said, like, you are our franchise catcher. And because he has shown, like, he does have elite contact skills, I would say above average power for a catcher as well. The defense was so rough last year, like, truly, truly bad. And not that he was, projected to be a Gold Glover necessarily, but he's going to be the catcher. This isn't a situation where, he's going to be the DH at any point. Like, he's clearly the catcher. And for this whole pitching staff to improve also, he's going to be part of that equation as well. So I trust the bat. I still believe in him. But that's something that has to happen because we've already said this before on so many previews. Like, knowing who your catcher is going to be for the long time, they've committed to him. He's going to be the guy. So he needs to be a part of it on both sides of the ball.
Also, when we compare him to someone like Francisco Alvarez on the Mets, who we'll talk about a little bit later, Ruiz is 4 years older than Alvarez and was so unbelievably awful at certain parts of his game in 2023 that the bottom can drop out with him. First percentile base running value. First percentile fielding value. Okay. Awful chase rate.
Yeah,
Did not hit the ball particularly hard that often.
I will say I'm bullish on. I think he will be an above average hitter. That part I'm less worried about, even though there are some red flags there. But at the defense,
he could be an above average hitter as a catcher.
Right.
I don't think he's capable of being an above average first baseman or DH.
Sure, but that's why he needs to be a good catcher.
And I don't think he will be.
Which he certainly wasn't last year. So Kyber Ruiz, very important. Something that makes us laugh about the Nationals. Patrick Corbin is finally at the end of his massive contract. Now, this is a contract that you could say worth it. He was unbelievable in his first season. They don't win the World Series without him.
Amazing theoretical, just like an amazing question, a lens through which to view baseball. Was the Patrick Corbin contract worth it, right? Unbelievable in 2019 when they win. And then
in the postseason too, he's incredible in the postseason. Couldn't have asked for anything more in his first year.
6 years, $140 million.
And then
since then, he has been so ass.
So again, part of it is because the rest of the team's been bad too, but he has led the league in losses three straight years, which I don't care what you think of pitcher losses. That's impressive in the other direction.
Patrick Corbin.
I mean, he is now, and this is the other thing about him. He has been basically one of the most durable pitchers in the league for 5 years running. He basically hasn't missed a start for six seasons, which is like, oh, that's nice. But also he's been so bad that he's obviously racked up all these L's. Now he's in his last year. The contract's backloaded, so he's making $35 million.
He's making $35 million. He has a 5.75 ERA in 94 starts over the last three seasons.
And again, he's only 34. How does this end? Does it matter at all? Yeah. Can he be a trade candidate? I don't know.
To me, the funniest thing is if he bookends 4 years of total poo-poo with an amazing first season and he like figures it out this year and they trade him at the deadline and they get a prospect back.
They're still going to have to pay it down most of the deal, but maybe they can trade him. All right, that's it. 66.5 is the over-under.
They were over there last year.
Yeah, 71 last year. I mean, maybe you're expecting the division to be better. I'll go slightly over. Slightly over for me.
I'll take the over as well.
Okay. There's reason to believe they could still be one of the three worst teams in the league. But we're a positive show. Let's move on.
Taking the over on every
team. To the Marlins of Miami. Jake and I are both representing the Fightin' Fish today. I'm wearing my Marlins hat, Jake rocking the 97.
The 1997 World Series champion shirt.
Yes. So we're covering all the eras of the Fightin' Fish. What happened to them last year? Jake, the Marlins made the playoffs. It was hilarious. They only won 84 games. The run differential was minus a million. Skip Schumacher said, I don't care. They won, I think it was some absurd record, 34-13, I believe, in one run games. And they sneak in, and then they look like an 84 win team.
Exposed. Against the Phillies.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was, no one was shocked, but it was not a great showing for them in Philadelphia.
This is very niche. This is very niche, but you know, we do a lot of Division III baseball coverage, and and this is a thing in like March Madness too, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Is where a team gets in, they're like the last team off the bubble, and they get in, and they just get dog walked immediately.
However,
and it's like, wow, all the other teams that didn't get in must be so pissed.
Right.
That the Marlins got in, and I understand it's not how baseball works.
They were awarded an at-large.
No, it wasn't like a committee let them into the playoffs.
Right.
But the Marlins getting worked over by the Phillies in two games, if I'm the Cubs or the Reds, I'm like, God,
yeah,
man. We could have gotten crushed by the Phillies, too.
Same record as the D-backs. Right? So, say they both won 84 games, and one of them did not look like a playoff team, and one of them went to the World Series. So, what do they do this winter? Very, very, very little. Once Josh Bell opted in, they were like, well, that's our budget.
New GM.
New GM. And he traded for some of his former players in Tampa Bay. Vidal Brujan, Peter Bendix, you know, Kim Ng, of course, leaves. And then Peter Bendix does very little. They signed Tim Anderson at the very kind of end of the offseason. Otherwise, it has been rather quiet on South Beach. And now it's like, all right, well, how in the world are they going to do that again? Well, who's on their baseball team?
The catching position is a platoon between Christian Betancourt and Nick Fortes. Betancourt, Guardians legend this offseason.
Oh, yeah.
Went from the Rays to the Guardians for 3 minutes, and now he's on the Marlins. Mm-hmm. First base, Josh Bell, traded for him at the deadline last year, opted into the deal over the offseason. Luis Arraez, who tantalized us with his near 400 batting average for quite a while and didn't end up anywhere near it. Jake Berger at third base, Tim Anderson at short. The outfield of Brian De La Cruz, who people think looks like LeBron.
He does.
More notable than that is that he sounds like Dikembe Mutombo.
It's a heck of a combo.
If you've heard him talk, it sounds like he has a pack of Marlboro Lights in his esophagus.
Which, there are some great videos of his teammates essentially doing his voice.
It's unbelievable stuff. Great. Jazz Chisholm Jr. in center, Jesus Sanchez in right. Aviciel Garcia will DH. Oof.
Oh, oof, man.
He was terrible last year.
Oh, boy.
They're going to miss Soler, I think. Yeah, rotation,
I would say,
is Jesus Luzardo. Okay, so there's a lot of injuries in this rotation. Let's just get that out of the way. On the injured list right now, Sandy Alcantara is out for the year. You got TJ. Yuri Perez is on the IL right now, as is Braxton Garrett and Edward Cabrera. So to start
this, we don't know. Yuri Perez is still early. Left with elbow issues, terrifying. We don't have any update there yet. So I'm terrified, but... yeah.
Leaving with elbow issues is better than showing up with elbow issues. So the rotation is Jesus Luzardo, AJ Puck, who is moving from the bullpen, Trevor Rogers, who was hurt for a lot of last year, Ryan Weathers, who they got at the deadline, and Yanni Chirinos. That's a lot of
first round picks.
A lot of first round picks and a lot of lefties. The bullpen, Andrew Nardi, Tanner Scott, Sixto Sanchez. The
Sixto, baby.
Love it. My one big question, was this real or just a fling? Jordan, I think one of the differences between the two of us is that I played and you didn't. And what this is it creates an energy that I have where I believe irrationally in baseball cliches more than you. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it means that I would leap in front of traffic for Skip Schumacher. Mm-hmm. I have never believed more in a human being in my life than I believe in Skip.
Which is to say, you're like, yeah, they can do it again. Why not? You're like, they're going to go undefeated in one run games this year.
They're going to go undefeated.
Period.
162 and zip.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably not. But I understand what you're saying. I also think Skip Schumacher's awesome.
Scoop Shoemaker.
Scoop. There are so many funny ways you can say his name. He's a skipper named Skip. How am I to doubt him? Again, the vibes here in terms of the IL, it's just like the pitching. It was going to always have to be the pitching, and we've already lost three of them before opening day has even started. So that's where my concern is. Now, I am always going to root for this team just because they were such they are facing such an uphill battle. Most of it of their own creation, for sure. Yep. But I enjoy rooting for them. I like when they succeed. But man, it's gonna be tough to do this again. Not just what went right for them. Think about what went wrong for so many of these other National League teams to let them in at the last second.
We were low on them last year. I guess they proved us wrong. I think this team is gonna be pretty bad. I think Skip is great. I just don't think there is enough on the squad of impact that's going to if they go 32, they went 33-14 in one run games last year. Mm. If they're simply like regular good in one run games, that's not enough. I think this is a worse roster than it was last year between the injuries and losing Soler. And I think they don't make up the difference with Magic in the same way they did last year. I think Skip has a big job on his hands. Key player, though. I mean, it's Jazz Chisholm Jr., and it's not close. If he plays 155 games, 140 games, and he's an all-star down-ballot MVP player, that gives the Marlins a legit offensive force outside of Luis Arraez, right? Mm-hmm. That's a big deal. And if he's not, and if he's hurt again, that's a problem. We've talked about this a lot. He has the highest ceiling of any offensive player in this team. And he's the biggest deal.
Yep. I agree. I would say, again, the pitching now, the way it's shaking out with all these injuries is tough. All these guys now just became way more important than we thought, like Rodgers and Weathers. But I'm going to go with Tim Anderson. I mean, I'm just, in terms of guys I'm fascinated to watch this season, he's pretty high on the list. And he's a new face, right? A lot of these other Marlins guys, let's say Bell and Berger generally repeat what they did. And Arraez hits 350 again. And let's say Jazz is good. So you could count Jazz in as sort of a new face, considering relative to what he was last year. But Tim Anderson, like, they're letting him play short. I just have no idea what I'm getting. If he can even get back to something average, that is also a big deal for this offense. So, but I have no idea what I'm getting from him, but I'm rooting for him. That's for sure. Something that makes us laugh about the Marlins, Gabe Kapler's content. Gabe Kapler is now the farm director, in Miami, or sorry, AGM, I believe, and very much overseeing player development. But I think we thought when he was, let go by the Giants, we're like, oh, great, Gabe Kapler's going to be so online all the time. And then the Marlins hired him. I was like, oh, maybe he won't be posting weird content as much. And it's been the opposite. He's kept on posting. We talk a lot about, oh, that guy posts.
Yeah.
This guy posts. And I'm excited to see what he's churning out. Like, I'm excited, when he's visiting, Pensacola. He's hanging out in AA, and he's like, oh, what's going on here?
The best burger.
he's doing his power walks, through a Beloit or whatever.
I was going to say, Jordan, if you're trying to decide whether you're going to walk somewhere or Uber or drive, and Google Maps says it's going to take you 10 minutes via car, that's probably right. But if it tells you it's going to take 15 or 17 to walk that same distance, it could be wrong because, like, all you have to do is walk fast, and you're cutting that down by 3 or 4 minutes. So don't let that make you get in a car.
78.5 is the over-under.
That's the Marlins. I need shirts. I need teal shirts that say, don't let that make you get in a car.
78. He's like telling, like, he's like visiting the low A team, and he's like, guys.
No cars.
Don't even think you better be walking to the ballpark. 78.5 is the over-under. I mean, under. But I go fish, go. Come on, Marlins, make us proud. New York Mets, Jake. They're in this division.
How'd things go last year?
God. The most expensive.
They were a gold toilet.
The most expensive 75 win toilets? Team of all time.
Like, Shakes have them. Gold toilets. Like, that's what they were.
And yet, inexplicably, it seems like people are feeling great. This is just one of the strangest things. We're kind of jumping ahead here to what makes us laugh about the Mets. But, okay, they were bad. They were bad. They traded away their rich old players. And they seem to be like, hey, let's restock the farm. Let's lose. Let's put out a AAA pitching staff and move on to next year. That's what they did at the end of last year.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What do they do in the offseason? You know what? Let's get a couple veterans here. We'll get some one-year deals. Luis Severino. We'll bring in Sean Manaea, Harrison Bader. No, Otani doesn't want to come here. That's fine. We don't need him. Here's G-Man Choi. He'll be our DH.
New president of baseball operations, David Stearns, let's just say, making his presence felt.
Yes.
Whole lot of buy lows, baby.
Yep. And getting some former Brewers, of course, bringing in Tyrone Taylor, Adrian Hauser.
New manager?
So
new
skipper? We got a new manager. So it's very much like, all
not
right,
named Skip.
We're hanging out. We're it's all good, man. Like we're gonna take it a step. We're gonna take it easy this year. Yeah. We're gonna see what we have. Meanwhile, the payroll is still like $330 million. They still have an offense, as we will get to here, with a lot of very good veterans in their prime.
It's a good offense, man.
And they have not seemingly built the team around them to win. But I still think they could be pretty good. Who is on the Mets,
Jay? So just quickly, $316 million payroll is what the number is on FanGraphs, on Roster Resource.
Yeah, I mean, how many of them are quickly, actually guys on the team?
So just quickly, 34 for Lindor. That's million, not like $34. $34 million.
Thank you.
Nimmo is 20. Marte is 20. Eddie D is 21. Kodai Senga, who's hurt, is 15. Manaea is 14. Quintana is 13. Severino is 13. McNeil is 10. Bader is 10. Omar Narvaez is 7. Pete is 20 in ARB. Adrian Hauser is 5 in ARB.
Now, again, to be fair,
other payments,
$60 million.
They're sending $30 million to Texas for Scherzer, $26 million to Houston for Verlander, and a nice $8 million to the Orioles for James McCann.
So again, that's a lot of money for players that are not on their team. But the point is, it's still a very expensive team, and still a team that offense still looks pretty good. Their catcher is Francisco Alvarez. He's 22. We love him. We think he's going to be awesome. First baseman, Pete Alonso. We're familiar with his game. Second base, Jeff McNeil. I'm not really familiar with his game. I don't really know what to make of Jeff McNeil the hitter anymore. Third base, Brett Beatty. We'll see what we have from him.
My take on Jeff McNeil is just simply thanks, but no thanks.
That's fine. Shortstop Francisco Lindor. Great example. Unbelievable season last year. Nobody cared because so they were so relevant in the second half. Outfield, Brandon Nimmo now moving to left. They have Harrison Bader staying in New York. But going to Queens, he's in center. Starling Marte seems like he'll be playing right and also getting some DH at-bats. DH also G-Man Choi, Mark Vientos. Wow, amazing. That is not Shohei Ohtani. Starting rotation. Kodai Senga probably hurt to start the year, so we're looking at Jose Quintana, Luis Severino, Sean Manaea, Adrian Hauser, Tyler McGill in some order. Well, you could talk yourself into all those guys. Bullpen.
And talk yourself out of all those guys.
Out of all those guys.
That's the thing, like, compare this to the Yankees rotation. So yeah. You could talk yourself into those guys, and you could talk yourself into all these guys. But those guys are better than these guys.
They are better. Yeah, you talk
it's
yourself
easier
out of those
to talk
too.
Yourself into the Yankees rotation.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, that's definitely true. Edwin Diaz is back. That's really cool. Don't need to overcomplicate that.
That's great. He's going to get
Adam Ottavino is also back. Less cool, but still good. Brooks Raley, Drew Smith. Okay, great. So, one big question. Pete Alonso, obviously, it's not that complicated. You'll hear this on every other Mets podcast. But
free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah. Again, I don't expect them to, unless this is happening in the next week, which I doubt, I don't think they're going to extend him. So
we've heard very little extension buzz relatively around Pete, and I'm skeptical that he will get an extension just because he's Boris now. So yeah. Scott Boris hates extensions.
Yes, but as Steve Cohen fairly pointed out, he's like, I'm not worried. You know, we brought back Nimmo. We brought back Diaz.
If they want Pete, they'll pay for Pete.
Yeah, exactly. And I've been pretty consistent saying they should. I don't even think this is a question. I just think that replacing what he is capable of is so hard. And to me, it's as simple as if you are willing to pay that much to keep Nimmo, Pete shouldn't even be a question.
Yeah.
Like, he is absolutely should be the guy to keep. But whatever. So that's going to loom over the season.
Well,
for
it's
sure.
Really like, is there a scenario in which they suck hard and they trade Pete?
Yeah.
And then they just sign him this winter.
Yeah, or try to pull that off.
You know, I think that's definitely in play if this team is bad. Yeah. Because holding on to Pete for the second half of this year, if they're bad, like, think about what a team would pay to have him in the middle of their lineup. A contender.
No, I know.
Oh, my God.
But that's And that's why, obviously, I'm sure teams tried this winter. Yeah. And they were not willing to. And the fact that they didn't, not just the fact that I'm sure they do want to keep him long term, but that's my other big question. Just like, it's frustrating that they kind of do these half measures because I just look at this offensive core. I'm like, why are we wasting a year of you know, Pete, Lindor, Nimmo, McNeil, McNeil? Like, I don't understand it. He's still at least something. Clearly, he's still going to play, you know, 150 games. I have no idea how good he is, but there's a version of him where he hits 300 again. And I just don't know how many more of those seasons you're going to get. So, let alone whatever you're getting from Marte at this point. So I don't know. I don't think this team's that bad. So it's just frustrating, I guess. Lindor's the one. It's just like, again, what more could you possibly ask from this guy?
The window doesn't line up.
Yeah.
That's what's confusing about the Mets. It feels like we're working with a couple different timelines.
Now,
in the NBA.
I know about, yeah.
You've heard of it. It's like MLB for basketball.
National
basketball.
Badminton. Got it.
Badminton.
Yes.
So because each player in the NBA is more important to the success of a team, windows in the NBA are dictated more by specific players, right? So like, I'm just trying to think of an example, right? Like, like the Timberwolves having Anthony Edwards.
Yep.
As long as he's on the team, like, they're in a contention.
They should have a chance.
Right. The Mets, I can't pin down their.
Well, right. Like, that's just baseball. So it's like, to me, it's more of just, especially with Nimmo and just like having those guys be, because I just think they're really good. And like, to have that many really good players and just kind of half-ass it, like, that's what bothers me, I guess.
I don't know if it's half-assing
I don't care how much they're.
Is it half-assing it, or is it David Stearns trying to like David Stearns-ify the Mets?
Yeah, and I'm not saying that. That's the thing. I don't know if I'm not saying they should have. Of course, they can't decide whether to sign Ohtani. They clearly tried to sign Yamamoto, and they just didn't. So maybe they were trying harder, and it just didn't work out. So I'm not. I don't think they did a terrible job. It just looks a little strange.
But it also creates a very weird energy.
Yeah.
This season, where
for expectations,
the expectations around this team from the fan base are lower.
Yeah.
However, there is more confidence in the organization than there has been in a long time, where you trust David Stearns and you trust Mendoza and you trust that Steve Cohen is going to invest. Mm-hmm. And so I don't get the sense that Mets fans are mad.
No.
They're not excited.
Yeah.
So it's this bizarre ambivalence that I
maybe,
can't
yeah, maybe out. I'm misreading it, but that's where I've seen it. And that's, to me, that's part of kind of what makes me laugh. And then we'll do the key players. It's just like Steve Cohen, he talked to the media recently, or I think over the weekend, he was basically like, I'm feeling good. Our farm system looks great. Like, I finally feel like we're really building it. And it's like, that is very reasonable and smart and good. This is kind of, again, we knew he wanted to kind of do it that way, which is great. I can't say he's doing it wrong. It's just such an incredible tone shift from a year ago that is strange when you still have so many of the same players.
And they almost had Carlos Correa too. People forget about that. The one other thing that makes me laugh is if this team wins 71 games, which could happen, and Edwin Diaz gets the trumpets
once every two weeks
and seeing the Edwin Diaz trumpets is a rarity.
Yeah. Or like, here's the saddest version, right? They're on a cold streak and but it's like, we got to get Edwin some work. Here comes the trumpets, down by 7. Here comes Eddie D trotting in, like the crowd of like 22,000 is like,
22,000.
Is that too many?
Way too many. I went to some Mets games at the end of last year. It was sparse.
Okay. I love Edwin Diaz, though. I'm excited to watch him.
Of course. My key player is Luis Severino.
Yeah.
Just because I don't think this is going to be an exciting year for the Mets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think turning Severino into something really good is a small win when it comes to Mets versus Yankees vibe stuff in New York City, right? Mm-hmm. If the Yankees rotation is bad and guys get hurt and they miss time, whatever, and Severino is just shoving in Queens, he's going to be on the back page of the New York Post and it's going to be like, wow, who the Yankees could use is Luis Severino.
That's all these pitchers. It's a very strange, you could, like you said, talk yourself into it. You can talk yourself out of it. I mean, for me, it's one of the young guys. This is kind of like we said about the Nats. Between Abrams and Ruiz, for me, between Alvarez and Beatty, right? Like, I believe in Alvarez. Beatty, who did torch AAA, like, he's kind of done all he needs to do in the minors. You know, him and with Alvarez, with Mauricio, Fientos, not quite as much. Like, that's the next wave, right? I know they have more guys coming with Jet Williams and Acuna, but, like, Beatty, he's got to show it or they're going to move on to the next wave of guys because he was just a very bad hitter last year and not a tiny sample. 386 plate appearances, 598 OPS. I know there's some underlying stuff where you could say, no, it wasn't that bad. To me, he's going to have to show it or there are now guys coming behind him. It sucks that Mauricio is going to be out, but that's one that I'm really curious about.
You know what's more important than underlying stuff? Mm. Overlying stuff.
Give me an example.
Like home runs or
I agree, which or his 212 batting average
is not everything.
At some point.
But it's a lot.
At some point.
Just because batting average is too important doesn't mean it's not important.
Think about, because also here's the thing, right? Think about how long Kyle Schwarber had to do what he did before we were like, okay, fine, he could hit 212. Like, it took a while.
Years.
it took a long time. Over under is 81.5. I'm going to go slight under still.
I would take the under on 75.5, I think.
Just 75.5?
Yeah, I just
Oh my gosh, we're going, you're pushing, okay.
I think they're
going
to be pretty bad, and I think...
And if it's bad, we know they're going to trade.
That's why, right? I don't see this front office not pulling the plug if they're mid.
Yeah.
They're not going to stumble forward to 80 wins. Like, there's no value in that for them, and I think they understand that. And so they have enough to trade where it's like last year.
I know.
Last year, if they had held on to those guys, they would have won 82 games, probably, or 80 games.
Right.
But they didn't. They won 75. So that's what I think happens again this year. All right. Let's take a break.
Let's do it.
And when we return, we will talk about two teams quite familiar with one another, quite familiar with me. Welcome back to Baseball Barbacast. Jake Mintz, Jordan Schusterman. Let's talk about the Philadelphia Phillies, who last year, I actually don't know how many, they win 90 games?
90 games, yep. Okay. 90 games, yep.
90 games.
90 games, 14 back of the Braves.
Which is a lot.
It's a lot of games.
They were 14 games back of the Braves.
They're 14 games back of the Braves. That is, you know, the Pirates, you know, were 16 back of the Brewers. I mean, the Diamondbacks were 16 back of the Dodgers, and yeah, Philly's 14 back of Atlanta. Well,
and then they got to October, and they took care of the Marlins, they took care of the Braves, and then they took care of the Diamondbacks until they didn't anymore in Game 6 and 7.
The opposite. There was not, care was not being taken.
They won a 5-game set against the Diamondbacks.
Well, that's exactly, it was the opposite. they were like, completely forgot to finish the job. The job was not finished, and they were done. Like, they thought the job was finished.
Go back and watch those highlights. Underratedly catastrophic. Like, awful.
Why? Phillies fans. Go back and watch those highlights.
Don't watch those games.
Go back and watch those lowlights. It was an embarrassment.
That was really tough.
It was, again, like, there were, I know, to me, I feel like it was overshadowed because the ALCS was bumping. You know, so like all the attention was on the Astros and Rangers, rightfully so, because it was a lot more exciting. But my gosh, what a disaster that was for the Phillies. But okay, that's what happened last year. What did they do this offseason? Not much. They gave Aaron Nola a boatload of money immediately. Like,
right away.
They're like, let's get done. Then they did very, very little. You know, they signed Whit Merrifield. They did Spencer Turnbull, and then they gave Zach Wheeler a bunch of money. So
extended him. He would have been a free agent at the end of this year.
Very, very straightforward offseason. And now they return with basically the exact same team, probably the most similar team of any team in the league.
It's a nearly historic level of continuity. I believe 97% of the total plate appearances are back. Only three players who appeared in a game, position players who appeared in a game for the 2023 Phillies are gone. Mm-hmm. Three guys are gone. Mm-hmm. And that's like...
It's Drew Ellis,
Josh Harrison... Mm-hmm. And
Jake Cave's still there.
Drew Ellis, Josh Harrison, and Dalton Guthrie. It's like 100 plate appearances, tops, right?
Yeah.
Everyone else is still there. Went there during spring. It's the same team. If you've seen the Phillies the last two seasons,
remind us who's on the team.
Who's on the team? Behind the dish, it is JT Realmuto and Garrett Stubbs, member of the tribe, friend of the show. First base, Bryce Harper. Goodbye to Rhys Hoskins. Second base, Bryson Stott. Third base, Alec Bohm. Shortstop, Trey Turner. An outfield of Nick Castellanos in right. Johan Rojas in center is going to break camp, it looks like, with the team. Mm-hmm. The bat is behind the glove, but oh my God, is the glove good. Mm-hmm. Brandon Marsh in left. Kyle Schwarber is going to get to DH mostly every day. Over-under Schwarber games started in the outfield is like 11.5.
Under? How did it get to that high?
Someone will get hurt. Someone always gets hurt.
How many did he play last year? I'm actually curious.
I believe the number was around 70.
Oh my gosh.
Which is part of why the Phillies were 14 games back in the Braves.
It was 103 starts in left field. I'm sorry. I mean, I knew it was a lot because of the Harper situation, but in my head, it was not that many. Okay, so that's a big deal. If there is something different about the Phillies, it is that Kyle Schwarber will not play 100 games in the outfield.
It's going to be a very good defensive outfield. Rojas is elite in center, and Marsh is going to be very good in left.
Right. Nick Castellanos is trying his best.
Trying his best.
Well, at least in the postseason.
At least in the postseason.
No promises about the regular season. About May.
I hope there's one game where they run out the Pache, Rojas, Marsh outfield, which is like three very good center fielders.
It might go 0 for 10, but that's fine.
Against lefties.
The DRS will be through the roof.
Starting pitchers. Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola, Ranger Suarez, who's just awesome. Christopher Sanchez and Taiwan Walker. Bullpen, pretty similar to Jose Alvarado, Matt Strom, Orion Kerkering, and rejoice, Philadelphia fans, because Craig Kimbrell is no longer on the team. What's your one big question about the Phillies?
My one big question is, how good is this offense really? This is a very famous offense, an offense we're very used to seeing, but with... Again, the Trey Turner season last year was so bizarre. He was so bad and then so good. And then kind of, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was not particularly pretty in the postseason either.
Horrible.
Right? Really, really bad. And then Bryce Harper, who was awesome generally once he felt fully healthy, but he's a first baseman now. And so what is he? No, I'm not saying a word about Bryce Harper. Realmuto, I would say, a pretty substantial step back offensively last year. Yeah. And then we're still trying to see just how good of a hitter, you know, Stott and Bohm and Marsh are. So Castellanos, you know, he'll probably be fine, but it's hard to see him necessarily being any better than he has been in the past. Yeah. So I'm just, it's very famous. It's clearly an above average lineup,
yeah.
But I'm not as excited about this group as I feel like I was last year, where I was like, oh my God, this lineup could be amazing. Weirdly, I just feel better about the pitching, which I can't believe I'm saying that about the Phillies.
That is very funny. Let me just correct myself on Trey Turner. So he was great against the Braves and the Marlins. And then
Marlins was two games, but yeah. Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Those were two big games.
Yeah.
I mean,
they did need to win them.
Two hits and a double in both. Like,
okay. Yep.
Stole two bases against the Marlins. He was good against those other teams, but against the Diamondbacks, he really got exposed a little bit. It was just looked out of whack. And for me, he's the key player because you got to crumble last year up. Like, it was so bizarre what happened with him. And he's not as bad as he was for 4 months, and he's not as good as he was for 2 months. I mean, no one is as good as he was for the last 2 months of the season. He was homering every 2 minutes.
Yeah.
He had the standing ovation, the whole city behind him. And then in the NLCS, it kind of like just reverted back to what it had been for 4 months. And granted, that's a small sample size. I could see this going a lot of different directions, too.
Yeah.
And so I think what I need from Trey, what the team needs from Trey, like what is consistency. We need to see some consistency from Trey Turner in 2024. Who's your guy?
I just think about Trey Turner. It's like, well, we are probably going to be asking that about him for the next literally 10 years because he's under contract
forever. He's a decade
left. It's like we're just going to be doing that over and over. So get used to having these same conversations.
Yeah. I mean, we'll have children.
Also defensively.
We'll have children when he's done.
Defensively also. Very weird. I could pick a lot of guys in this offense. I don't know. I mean, I guess Castellanos. I don't know. I guess back to the pitching. Like Christopher Sanchez looks so good. Like he sold both of us.
Yeah.
And if Taiwan Walker is, maybe it's Taiwan Walker. I mean, he's someone that clearly they're committed to him being in the rotation, but they were not committed to him being in the rotation in the postseason. So maybe he is just a regular season guy, and there is value in giving you 150 competent regular season innings, which he can probably do. But if he can kind of figure something out, and if Sanchez is that good, they could have one of the best rotations in the league, which, again, is a weird thing to say, but that's very possible. So maybe it is that if the pitching is going to be the strength. What makes us laugh about the Phillies? A lot of things. They're a funny team, funny fan base, funny everything. I mean, Castellanos, again, it's really just that, like, we're just getting the words of wisdom from him on the regular now.
So
you never know what you're getting. So
talking
I'm
about
just very grateful
milk.
That he has, you know, microphones in his face all the time because you never
you're
know.
Welcome.
it's great. So I'm enjoying the Nick Castellanos experience.
Another thing that makes me laugh just is the Kyle Schwarber leading off conversation.
It'll keep doing it, right? I mean,
I think
it's going to change.
Sports talk radio has changed in the podcast era, I think. And we have, there's a, almost like a dampening in some ways. Everyone has gotten smarter, I think, generally. Philly sports talk radio clamoring to move Schwarber out of the leadoff spot, to me, is like the perfect type of sports talk radio in a city. Like,
so
why is this guy hitting first? Like, get him out of
but,
there.
But I don't, and again, a lot of it was is because he was still slugging, right? And so it's like, if we're thinking traditional, we want him driving in the runs, right? So he should be batting third or fourth. But just remember, you know, last year the season began and it was Turner for like a few weeks, and then it was Stott for 2 months, and then it was Schwarber basically from June through the end of the season, and it was great. I don't imagine them changing that. If anything, and it's like they seem so locked into that, you know, Schwarber, Turner, Harper, you know, that's the group. They're so committed to that, and I don't know what it looks like for that to look different, so that is probably what it's going to still be, but
yeah,
that's kind of what they have, and I don't really see how they're going to change
that. I just love how much it pisses people off. The order of the hitters does not matter.
I mean,
as long as your good hitters are hitting higher generally than your bad hitters, it's not the end of the world.
89.5 is the over under for the Phillies. I think I'm going to go under. Yeah, I'll go over.
I'm going to go over as well. I think it'll be the same thing as the last 2 years. They don't have the same level of depth that Atlanta does, in my opinion. And they have shown they don't stay as healthy as Atlanta does. And I think Atlanta's still better.
That's the thing, though. And the injuries, if they are a couple injuries from dipping into some.
Yeah, but
also, they have Whit Merrifield now. That's a guy. I'm curious how much he's going to play. I could imagine him getting a good amount of at-bats at second.
If the Phillies and the Braves have shown us anything over the last 2 years,
yeah,
it's that the Braves are very, very well built over 162. Phillies have been very well built over 5. And I'm not going to sit here and say that it's going to be the same as the last 2 seasons. But as long as the Phillies can get...
Certainly might be.
As long as the Phillies get to October, they're not a team you want to play in October because you win in the regular season with your best 35 players. Mm-hmm. You win in October with your best 11, right? And like the Phillies have a pretty good 11.
Yes. Very fair. All right, it's time to talk about the Braves of Atlanta. They won so many baseball games. I believe it was 104 W's in 2023. And then something happened at the end of their season, and then they were out. What happened this offseason? Do you have anything else to add?
Do I have anything else to add? About what?
About how the season ended?
No. It was actually, it was unfortunate.
It was unfortunate.
That team was so good. And they
also capitulated before the Phillies capitulated.
They did. They Braves first.
Yeah. But maybe is it more embarrassing to lose to the Phillies than it is to lose to the Diamondbacks? I don't know.
I thought the Phillies' loss was more embarrassing than the Braves' loss.
Oh, yeah. By far.
Oh, here's how the Braves lost. Ready? Bryce Harper was like, I'm one of the best players in the world. Right. Here we go. The Phillies lost to the Diamondbacks because they just couldn't stop swinging at sliders from, you know, Kevin Ginkle.
No, hey, respect to the Ginkle.
No shade to the Ginkle.
No, I agree. So anyway, but the Phillies did play deeper into October, and the Braves were not feeling great at the end of the season. Now, as Alex Anthopoulos, he's not just going to sit there. He is going to, even with the team that wins 104 games, whether it was a reaction to the postseason or not, he knew, we got to do something. We got to show, hey, we are not content. I am not content with this roster. And so they made some real moves.
He was wheeling.
He was making trades that you didn't even, like, trades that, he was basically making trades so that he could make other trades.
Yeah.
Which is when you know you are really busy.
Alex Anthopoulos not invited to the Yahoo Sports Fantasy League. Nope. With us.
No. Unless he emails us at baseballbarbercast@gmail.com.
Alex Anthopoulos.
Which we would have to consider it. If he does spend time in the next, I guess, day, he has not emailed us yet, we will have, hopefully you understand.
If any current MLB GMs or presidents of baseball operations want to be in the fantasy league and want to remain anonymous in the fantasy league, we will label you as anonymous front office person.
You are
welcome to join. Now, is that allowed? Probably not.
Probably not. You're welcome. But I am liking the idea of Alex Anthopoulos emails us like, hey guys, we'd love to be in the league. He comes, he's in the draft. I assume we'll just do a random draft order that'll get set day of. Oh, and Tapas is a first pick, and he like takes Julio instead of Acuna. Mm. It's like, interesting. How about that? Anyway, what did the Braves do this offseason? They traded for Jared Kelnick. That's interesting. They traded for Chris Sale. That is very interesting. They signed Reynaldo Lopez, who will be their fifth starter. Mm. That is extremely interesting. They spent some money on the bullpen. They traded for Aaron Bummer. I forgot about that until right now. They signed Joe Jimenez. They signed Pierce Johnson. And
they brought Adam Duvall back.
Adam Duvall is back, of course. Traded for David Fletcher, who's on the bench. All kinds of trades. But generally, this team is still the team we've watched be one of the best teams in baseball over the last couple of years.
It was a lot of transactions to end up with the same team.
I mean, that's not true, right?
Sorry, may I edit that?
Yes.
It was a lot of transactions to end up with the same starting lineup, more or less.
Yes, yes.
Because
especially when Adam Duvall is there.
Starting lineup will be Sean Murphy and Travis Sterno splitting time behind the dish. Matt Olson at first. Ozzie Albies at second. Austin Riley at third. Orlando Arcia at shortstop. Ronald Acuña Jr. in right. Michael Harris, the second, who has somehow become underrated, I think, in center. Left field looks to be a split between Duvall and Jared Kelenic, which is not what they told Jared Kelenic a couple of weeks ago before he stunk up the storm in spring. Marcell Ozuna is the designated hitter and the rotation. Spencer Strider, Max Fried in the last year of his contract with the Braves. Charlie Morton, who is 40.
Yeah.
Chris Sale, who is 36.
35.
And Reynaldo Lopez, who is good.
But a starter, apparently.
But a starter. Bryce Elbert.
Triple
A. Was an all-star last year.
Off to Gwinnett.
To Gwinnett.
Sorry, buddy.
See ya.
Now, the Braves have done this a few times now.
Get ready to learn Gwinnett.
The Braves have done this a few times now. They're like, oh, Ian Anderson, you are a top pick, and you're pitching in huge innings for us in the 2020 postseason. Banished. Gone.
See ya.
Oh, you know, Jared Schuster, we just took him in the first round. Boom. Gone.
See ya.
Mike Soroka. Oh, this is really nice. You rehabbed. You came all the way back. Gone. Off
sorry
to the White Sox as well.
Sorry.
If you're not at the Braves standard when they are looking at you, you're gone, right?
I love it.
And that's the standard that they have set, and clearly the standard that they have now also set for Jared Kelnick, in that they said, listen, of course, this is a great buy-low opportunity. 24-year-old outfielder with big promise. Doesn't have to be an all-star. He can just play the Eddie Rosario role for much cheaper, play good defense. He's been terrible this spring, and they're like, oh, okay, sorry, dude. We're not going to give you all the at-bats because we're the Braves, and we need to ensure exactly what we're getting, and so they bring Adam Duvall back. That is the culture that has been set. That is the expectations that have been set. That is part of why, I mean, it also helps that they just have all these awesome players. So that's, they have other options, right? There's a reason they can do this is because they can go get, but it's also in interesting ways for Chris Sale to be the guy to come in, for Reynaldo Lopez to be the one to replace Bryce Elder. That's such a fascinating sequence of events.
Correct. This may sound a little odd coming from me. I love what the Braves have created in the room. I really do. And I think that they have a culture where guys post, they play. Yep. It is a professional environment. They have proved, they've won 6 straight division titles with a very similar core. Mm-hmm. And I think it is a machine that runs itself. October is its own thing. And the conversation around the Braves the last 2 seasons has been like, man, what is this? They won. Mm-hmm. They won everything in 2021. This is not like they're not the Dodgers before 2020.
No.
Right? They did it. They did it in one of the first years of this group. And I think this run from the Braves is underrated. Like, I really am
so
impressed.
But I would say, and for all we joke about jobs not finished after winning a World Series, which I still will laugh at, when your roster, which has gotten even better since 2021 somehow, the standards are there.
Yeah.
Like, that's why
there is so much talent on this team. They owe it to themselves to be a dynasty, which
they haven't quite got there.
They're not there.
Because they've missed championship series.
Yes.
2 years in a row, which the Astros haven't done.
Correct. But that conversation is every fan base would love to be like, well, we're one step short of a dynasty.
No one feels bad.
Yeah,
no,
and so
not.
I just think like,
you'd still rather have set that standard than not.
The Braves, correct. Yeah. That's, I guess, a good way to summarize this conversation is the Braves standard is so high. It is a testament to what the organization has accomplished that standard is so high. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to win more regular season games than the Dodgers. I still think they're better than the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. I do. Even the Dodgers did all this stuff over the winter, and I think the Braves are better. But my one big question is, can they stay comically healthy again? And that was not the case in the rotation. Let's just be clear about that. They had a lot of injuries with pitchers, and they had to backfill that with depth. And it didn't matter. They still...
Because they were scoring so many runs.
They were scoring so many runs. But they
got full seasons from, like, flawless full seasons from Olsen, Riley, and Acuna. Which, when those guys are that good, it's going to go pretty far.
Ozzie played 148 games. Mm-hmm. Ozuna played 144 games. Mm-hmm. Rosario played 142 games. Arcia played 139 games. Harris played 138 games. That's an outrageous level of consistency. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Murphy plus Darno.
Yeah, they barely missed time.
They barely missed time.
And by the way, that's why it's a big question, because they don't have the position player depth. Like, this farm system is not necessary. They traded Von Grissom, obviously, and that's fine. I understand why they did that. There are still arms that we could see come up and help in the case that Charlie Morton, who's old, gets hurt, or Chris Sale gets hurt, or Lopez turns out not to be a starter. But the bench, which right now is David Fletcher, Luis Guillorme, Duvall, Kelnick, whatever, that's where they are thin. And so now even, again, it's still going to be an above-average offense if Austin Riley gets injured. But that's, if you're identifying a possible concern, that is one of them.
The reason I'm not concerned about that, though, is I think it will even out, because this is their rotation last year. Ready? 11 starts for Jared Schuster, 7 for Dylan Dodd, 7 for hurt bad Kyle Wright, 6 for Mike.
That's another one. Another first rounder. They're like, all right, thanks for your time. Goodbye.
6 for Mike Soroka. 6 from Alan Winans. Okay. Mm-hmm. 5 from Yanni Chirinos. 3 from Colby Allard. 2 from Darius Vaughn.
Colby Allard. Another one.
That it's just, they were really hurt in the rotation last year.
Yep.
I think they will be less hurt than they were last year in the rotation, and more hurt than they were last year in the lineup. And I think that will even out.
Injuries impossible to predict, but I totally hear what you're saying. Key players, I'm going with Sean Murphy. Mm. Sean Murphy, who, again, first half of the year, it's like, oh my God, he's the best catcher in baseball. Here are the Braves. They did it again. Olsen's amidst this amazing season, and they just got both of them from Oakland, whatever. Murphy was atrocious offensively in the second half. One of the worst hitters in baseball in the second half. Can I ever blame a catcher for having a tough time hitting? No.
No.
On this podcast, we
thank catchers for their service.
Always. They should get on airplanes first.
Yep.
But
1K members, but, those traveling with children.
But part of the reason their offense was, you know, God tier in the first 4 months was because Sean Murphy was part of that, and he was not part of that in the second half. And so do they need him to be an above that good of a hitter? Probably not. But I am curious where that settles in. Because that was part of what made them like just a total super team, and it was the opposite in the second half.
Chris Sale, my key player. Mm-hmm. They traded Von Grissom. Mm-hmm. Grissom. I gotta stop saying Grissom. Von Grissom, mm-hmm. who, you know, young controllable position player that was very could have been useful for them, who was gonna play left field.
Yeah.
They said this before they traded him, remember?
Yeah.
They sent him to winter ball to play left.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Sale, 35 years old. He has not been Chris Sale good since, I believe, 2018.
Well, I mean, what is Chris? That's not really a fair thing to... I mean, yes, but what
he has not
at some point you can't
Cy Young vote, I believe, since 2018.
Correct.
Okay.
That was a long time ago.
2019, he had a 4-4 in 147. Then he got TJ, didn't pitch in 20. Mm-hmm. 42 innings in 21, hurt. Mm-hmm. 5 innings in 22, mm-hmm. hurt. 100 last year with a 4-3. If he gives the Braves 100 with a 4-3, they're probably fine with that.
Yeah.
But you could see a scenario where he gives them 17 innings, or he gives them 150 bad innings. Or
no, I think he's going to be good. I think he's either going to be good or hurt.
Okay.
I think I'm not really worried about Chris Sale being bad. I'm worried about him not pitching.
Okay. Because he was pretty mid last year.
Yeah. Again, underlying, overlying. What do we want? There's some positive stuff. I know our friend Foolish Baseball is pretty optimistic.
You know what makes me laugh about the Braves?
How good they are.
Well, there's that. But does this team want the bye?
Well, here's the thing.
Can I just say, I'm going to be very blunt about this. I have a bigger problem with how the Braves handled the bye than the Arcia stuff.
Like complaining about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way
I feel like the Dodgers complain more.
They both were complaining.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, who didn't complain? The Astros.
Someone asked, I think asked Snicker this, was like, okay, so you think the layoff is damaging? Do you want, would you rather play in the round before? And he was like, no. I'm like, okay. Like, I get why it's difficult. I get why the time off is weird. And that's odd. I understand.
Right.
But that's the setup. Mm-hmm. It's an advantage.
Yeah.
Enough.
I know. But here's the thing. Even in the world where they wanted to, you know, maneuver it. They are at least projected to be so far ahead, they're not going to be making that choice.
That's what's funny to me is they don't have a say.
Yeah.
They're too good.
Right.
They're too good to have a choice.
But it is funny if like enough things go wrong, enough guys get hurt where it's like actually close between them and the Phillies at the end.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, actually I'd rather play immediately after game 162.
Sure.
101.5 is the over under, Jake Mintz.
Yeah.
That's a large number. Remember, the Dodgers were at 103.5.
On the train on the way here, I said I would take the under, and I'm going to take the over. This team is so good, man. They're so good.
Yeah. I'm going to take the over, too.
All right.
Braves, which seems absurd.
Braves fans.
I don't know.
Are we cool?
No. Don't.
What?
You don't have to be cool with them.
I want to be cool. I don't like animosity. Like,
you have there a really doesn't good, need to be.
You
there
got a really good ball club. You got a really good ball club.
There doesn't need to be.
I'm looking
they
forward
don't
to
need to hear that from you. People know that.
Like
the Braves are really ridiculously good. That's the NL East. We did it. We previewed it. On Wednesday, we will preview the National League Central, AL Central on Friday. This was a lot of fun. We will be in the same place again on Wednesday. But again, thank you all for listening. You can email us at baseballbarbercast@gmail.com. 6 p.m. Mountain Time. We are closing submissions for the Baseball Barbercast
Polls
Fantasy
closed.
League.
If you're in line, don't stay in line.
Please get out of line. We've had enough submissions. Go home. Don't vote. Don't submit.
Voter suppression from your favorite podcasters.
No, it's fine. Keep them coming. You can still sway us over the rest of the day. But thank you again. The people who have sent in submissions, a lot of kind words. It's very cool and humbling. The people that have been listening to us for a long time. We very much appreciate you. We will be responding to as many of them as possible, even if we're not invited.
Here's another thing.
Yeah.
We could have... You folks can play fantasy baseball with one another.
That's true.
If you don't get into
our league. I thought about this, right? You know, do we the Barbecast Discord?
Oh, dude,
we
what if we do pro rel promotion relegation fantasy leagues?
You can earn it and get booted. Yeah, maybe we. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. All right. That's it. That's been this Monday edition of Baseball Barbecast. Thank you to the good folks here at WTF Studios for hosting us. We appreciate that. Shouts out to Andrew Hartz, our producer. Shouts out to Wolf, our man, who's our real producer today here.
Real
in the studio.
Sound engineer.
No, sound engineer and everything. I'm sure he's very confused about some of the things we said on this podcast, but we appreciate him.
Yep.
Thank you all for listening.
Shouts out to the guest bedroom in my apartment for hosting me.
And we'll be back on Wednesday in these very seats. Thanks for listening. Talk to you soon.
Maybe we'll sit in those chairs.
Maybe we will.